think it's funny, I kind of alluded to it in my prayer, that we have to have a reminder. We have to have actually a command in Scripture to remember Jesus. He said, remember me. He told them. He didn't suggest it. And it's not like we forget Jesus, you know, existed, or we don't forget that there's a God in heaven, you know, and we might not even forget that he saved us. You know, we're kind of walking around in that. But we forget to remember Jesus in our words, in our actions, and in just our day-to-day getting through the busyness of life and, you know, doing good things sometimes, you know, caring for our children, or our husband, or our home, or serving. Sometimes we don't remember Jesus in those moments, in those, like, little steps, our little steps, you know. He needs to be with us in every step. And I'm not doing this, you know. You point at someone, you got three fingers or four pointing back at you, so I need a reminder too. So it's kind of beautiful that he actually commanded us to remember him. Oftentimes when we celebrate communion, we go to the 1 Corinthians section of Scripture where Paul is being very corrective because the church was observing communion in an unworthy manner. It was kind of, I guess my little synopsis would be, it was like a drunken potluck. You know, and, you know, that's not how Jesus wanted us to remember him. But, you know, we've been at a retreat all weekend, and we've been drawing near to the Lord, we've been hearing the word, and we're not taking communion in an unworthy manner. You know, this is a wonderful setting to celebrate his death and resurrection for us. So I'm not going to correct you with those verses right now, but, this guy I know is a really smart Christian man named Matt Ale, my husband. I told him, you know, I don't really want to talk about how, you know, the Corinthians were doing it wrong and now they're sick and dying and we're not worthy. You know, we're not worthy, but because of Jesus, we are worthy. So, and we don't want to take communion lightly. But I said, you know, I want to talk about celebrating Jesus and remembering him. This is like a good positive thing. We shouldn't be going, oh, it's communion. You know, we should be excited. So Matt says, but it is natural when we draw near to the Lord that we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, so hopefully as this weekend has gone by, you know, we're drawing near in worship. And, you know, those things, sometimes it's the enemy, but sometimes it's the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you're worshiping me, but you need to take care of these things, you know, with me. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, if the Lord's been convicting you of sin this weekend, hopefully you've already gone to him about it. But if you, just in case you have anything right now that you feel like you need to confess, you know, maybe I did something and I offended you and you're like, oh, can't stand that MC girl, she's driving me crazy. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. But you know, it's funny because when it's my turn to teach in Bible study, or like last night I was sitting up in this big girl chair, and I'm like, Lord, please, you know, make me work with you. We should feel that way all the time, you know, really. And don't wait until you're on your way to church and it's Communion Sunday and you're like, oh, I gotta get my life right with the Lord. You know, we should have that feeling because we're gonna go and worship and hear from his word. So I just want to encourage you, you know, 1 John 1:9 is a beautiful promise. I think for about a year and a half it was our scripture in women's ministry years back, and it's, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you know, if you have something going on right now, let's, you know, go ahead and confess to the Lord, and so we can celebrate communion together. And Lydia's going to play a song, and I, you know, do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. But what I want you to do during the song is think about the words. And are you up here, Lydia? Come on up here. And thank the Lord. Remember the good things that the Lord has done for you. Remember that he died on the cross for you during the song. And even if you want to jot something down, you can sing along with the song, of course. But let's look at this time in a celebratory way. You know, we're celebrating communion. So go ahead and do that, and then I'll go on a little bit. Dwell in our sin because he died for our sin. So praise the Lord. I love that song, my cup runneth over. You think about that, means I have way more than I need, right? It's more than full. So praise the Lord. The night Jesus taught us to remember him in this way was an incredible time for the disciples. I was kind of looking over my notes this morning, and I'm like, it's kind of like a men's retreat on steroids, you know? It was like last night, and In John 13, 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." So these are some of the things that he did that night. He washed his disciples' feet, you know, just demonstrating servanthood and also forgiveness. He gave them a new command. You know, sometimes I don't think we remember that this is all happening the same night. He told them, he said, "That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this I will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's such an important verse that we know, and this was something he said to them that night. He was saying goodbye. He said, "A little while longer, I'll be with you, and I go to prepare a place for you." And Thomas says, "You know, I want to go. How do I get there? I don't know the way." And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." So that's another thing he told them that night. And this isn't necessarily in order, but and then he encourages them that they would do great works when he was gone. And he promises the Holy Spirit to them, the helper who would come. And so there's still many things that they could remember that night, but he wants them to remember what he's about to do. And we get to kind of fully understand that because we're after the cross, we have the book, you know, we can read all about it. They still didn't completely understand. You know, maybe they even thought till the end he was going to jump off the cross, take over, conquer the Romans, and this is going to be his kingdom, you know. So, but we see what he did. We know, you know, we read the whole story. So they were just clinging to his every word. So there's more that happened. But in the midst of this incredible night, Jesus gave them that incredible command, "Remember me." And when we read it in the gospel verses, we see how simply he just invited them to do that. In Luke 22, he says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And we can go on a big Revelation Bible study and talk about that, but we're not going to. But, you know, with fervent desire, he wanted to celebrate this Passover with them. And I really believe he wants to celebrate communion with us, you know, until he comes. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And I thought it was really neat last night. Carol touched on, you know, the veil tore, and, you know, now we have access to the Father because of what Jesus did. Well, he hadn't done it yet. He was just showing them symbolically, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, for me, all these images come to my mind. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And communion represents the way God gave us that gift. Just by the broken body, his body didn't actually break, but, you know, gave his body and his blood for our sins. The innocent Lamb of God was sacrificed, and our debt was cleared. The veil was torn, and we were restored to the Father. And that's why we can enter with confidence. Like Carol talked about last night in Hebrews, we can go boldly to the throne of grace because of Jesus' death on the cross. So now I'm going to go ahead and have you girls pass out communion. And I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, not in a corrective way, but we're going to read the verses as we go ahead and take communion together. I'll go back to what Paul said. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take this. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So let's take communion. Let's eat this in remembrance of Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's go ahead. I love how he didn't say, do this often. You got to do it every morning, every night. But every time you do this, I want you to remember me. I want you to do this to remember me. And I want you to remember me when you're doing it. So I just want to encourage you one more time that every time we take communion, I wish Carol was in here, so you'll have to tell her. You know, she loves Christmas. And it just came to my mind last night. I was reading this last sentence in 1 Corinthians, and he says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So we're looking back, remembering what Jesus did for us, but we're also looking forward for his return, right?
Yes.
And it made me think of, you know, the herald angel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So, you know, the herald angel, that's the same word, the same Greek word. Should be impressed. Here's one more Greek word. It's katangelo. And it's probably not how you say it. But it means I declare openly. I proclaim. I preach. I laud. I celebrate. You know? So it's, I hope you got my drift. We need to celebrate communion.
Yes.
We need to come to the Lord and say, thank you for giving your body and blood on the cross. It was the only way.
That's right.
It was the only way. And that's the way God chose to give us salvation. You know, the disciples were like, even Jesus prayed, if there's any way, any other way, Lord, you know, show me the way. And there was no other way. And the disciples, I'm sure they just were crushed and defeated. But I just know when they went back and, you know, after the Lord, you know, rose again and showed himself to them, every time they had communion after that, they must have just been, wow, he told us that this night. He invited us, in fact, commanded us to remember him. And what a blessing. And so I hope when you have communion, you can, you know, just remember that we're celebrating Jesus. We're remembering what he did on the cross for us. And so let's worship as we close. And then Debbie's going to come up and end our retreat.